Precious children are under constant threat of isolation, despair, and a lack of purpose. But Jesus called his church the light of the world, a city upon a hill, alive with the fire and power of the Holy Spirit. Together, we can fight the darkness. Together, we can beat back the shadows. And it happens through the simple act of invitation. An invitation can rescue the isolated, connecting them with a loving, devoted community. An invitation casts out despair, replacing it with joy, peace, and salvation. An invitation can guide those seeking purpose to the ultimate mission of God's kingdom, a lifelong journey of growth, outreach, and service, a chance to change the world. In this season of Christmas, it begins with a simple choice: to let our light shine, to make an invitation of hope.
Amen. God is good and all the time. The power of an invitation. How many of us came to church because we were invited by somebody one day? I know I did. How many went to church because somebody invited you and said, hey, why don't you come with me? The power of an invitation. We all have the carol service on the 16th of December, and we have little flyers that you can take with you. Why not take a few extra? Why not go to your neighbor and say, look, you know, why don't you come for our carol service? We have a great program lined up for that evening. It's an hour. It's an hour's program, just strictly an hour and not any more. And we have amazing hospitality. And the reason I showed you that was the amazing power of inviting somebody to come. It's better than pushing leaflets through somebody's door, because this becomes a personal invitation when you give somebody a flyer and invite them to come. So that was the purpose for that. Did you like that video? Yeah, praise the name of Jesus. That's not my message. Praise the name. So such a joy to see you all this morning. I'm so encouraged when I see God's people come together just to praise, just to worship God our Father, God our Savior, because He is worthy of praise. Amen? Amen. He is good. God has been amazing. God has been doing amazing things. And you know, when sometimes we do get discouraged, and that happens from time to time. It's always not on the up all the time. Sometimes we go through the lows as well. But the good thing is that God is constant. God does not change. His love does not change. His power does not change. Who He is does not change. And we can always come to Him because we know that we draw from Him. And so when we draw from Him, we get inspired. We get fed. We get built up. And that's what we're doing today. That we are coming together right now to hear God's word. And when we hear God's word, faith builds up in us. And we get fed, we get stronger. And we want a people who are strong today. Because we're living in a world that's gradually going, if I put it this way, going backwards, not forwards. Morally, we're going backwards. And so we need people who are strong in the faith, who can stand up for Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, Just to give you a little story as well. There were two men who were shipwrecked on an island. And they started, obviously, when you get shipwrecked on an island, they started screaming and shouting. And one chap said, we are going to die. There's no food here. There's no water on this island. We are going to die. The second chap propped himself against a tree, and he was calmly sitting there. And the first man got angry that the second man was calm. And he said, don't you understand? We are going to die. The second man replied, you don't understand. I make £100,000 a week. The first man looked at him quite dumbfounded and asked, what difference does that make? We are here on an island. We are We have no food. We have no water. We are going to die. The second man answered, you don't get it, do you? I make £100,000 a week and I tithe 10% of that £100,000 a week. My pastor will find me. So my title for this message is Hearing, Believing, and Seeing. Hearing, Believing, and Seeing. Let's just pray. Father, this morning, we come to you and we thank you that where two or three are gathered, you are there in the midst of us. You are right here. You're here right now. And Father, I ask that you will speak to us from your word. And God, as we open our hearts to you today, fill us, speak to us, give us something that we can take with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hearing, believing, and seeing. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Tell your neighbor you're looking good. Say this as well, I like the smile on your face. It's good to smile, it's good to laugh a bit. So here's what it says. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman commander or a Roman centurion, in some of your translation will say that, came to him. He asked Jesus for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home and can't move. He is suffering terribly. Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? The commander replied, Lord, I'm not good enough to have you come into my house, but say the word and my servant will be healed. I like that. I myself am a man under authority, and I have soldiers who obey my orders. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my slave, do this, and he does it. Verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said to those who were following him, what I am about to tell you is true. In Israel, I have not found anyone whose faith is so strong. I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west. They will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. They will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But those who think they belong in the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. There they will weep and grind their teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman commander, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. It's an amazing passage of scripture. Luke also writes about this story in his gospel. Jesus was in Capernaum. The centurion is a guy who commands 100 men. He was a well-known man in his town. And I'm sure this Roman commander must have heard a lot about Jesus. He heard that Jesus was in town. He knew Jesus was in town. And he probably knew that Jesus did amazing miracles. And although a Roman, he favored the Jews. How do we know that? Because if we read Luke's account, it says that he built a synagogue for the Jews. So he had some belief and some faith in the Jews. He knew that there was something in Jesus that was different. And being a Gentile, I truly believe that he believed in Jesus. When he recognized that Jesus was in town. And we see here how inclusive Jesus is. This was a Gentile. But Jesus included the Gentile as well. So he was a non-Jew. Jesus is inclusive. Wherever you come from, whatever your heritage is, really doesn't matter. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will never exclude us. Everybody is included in Christ Jesus. People talk about inclusiveness today. In our places of work, have you heard that term? It's kind of a buzzword. Are you inclusive in what you do? Jesus was inclusive. He never excluded anybody. Read the scriptures. There's no one he excluded. That's how amazing Jesus is. He accepts everyone as they are. See, Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 37, I will never send away anyone who comes to me. I will never send away anyone who comes to me. Isn't that an amazing invitation that Jesus gives us? He will never send us away. He accepts everybody. So whatever social class or background we may come from, it really does not matter with Jesus. When you call upon him, he will answer. Isn't that great? You know, in society today, we have social class. In some cultures, it's very, very powerful. People don't mix with those who are of so-called lower class. With Jesus, he transcends all class barriers. Isn't that great? That we can be one in Christ Jesus. Social boundaries, ethnicity, nationalities do not separate us from each other when we know Jesus Christ. He is the same to everybody, no matter what origin they're from. You can say amen to that. Because there's so much talked about today in our place of work about this. And we can say, hey, Jesus, he included everybody. Did you know that? He did. So here's the first point. The centurion heard that Jesus was in town. And I believe he had an expectation that something good was going to happen. Not just to him, but also to his servant. He knew something good. Jesus is in town. I've heard a lot about Jesus. I know he's in town. And I have an expectation that something good is going to happen. He loved his servant very much. So he looked out for Jesus. And see the response that Jesus gives for a man who comes looking for him. He says this, shall I come and heal him? Wow, shall I come and heal him? What happens when we look out for Jesus? You know what Jesus says? What can I do for you? Can I heal you? Can I provide for you? What can I do for you? When we seek him with all our heart, shall I come and heal him? How does faith come? Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us, so faith comes from hearing the message. And the message that is heard is the message about Christ. There's only one message, and that's the message about Jesus Christ. And when we hear that message, like you are hearing the message of Jesus Christ right now, faith arises in you. What is faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, we are assured of. We have a belief in the one and true God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Even though we don't see him, we believe and we know him. And we know that God has always planned good for us. We haven't seen it yet, but we are assured of it. By faith, we believe it. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I believe the Roman centurion heard of Jesus, and on hearing of Jesus, about Jesus, his faith was stirred up. He knew Jesus is here. Something's going to happen. Even today when we are called to preach the gospel of Jesus, we are called to preach in faith of Jesus, the faith of our belief. And when we preach the word of God, faith stirs up in people so they could believe, they could receive this gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Romans 10 and verses 8 to 10 tells us this: the word is near you, even in your mouth. The word is near you, even in your mouth. It's here, the word of truth, the word of faith that we preach. That when you say Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. It takes two things: believing in your heart, saying Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead causes you to walk into God's salvation for mankind. The centurion experienced God's salvation right there by simple faith in Jesus. How simple is it for us to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you shed your blood for me. I believe my sins are forgiven because of what you did. And the moment we say it and we believe it, the Word of God says that we receive salvation, which is free. It is free. It is free. We are in the season of Christmas. We're in the season where we are celebrating the birth of Jesus, where Jesus gave himself, of himself, he gave him of himself freely to a dying world, that through him the world can be saved. And even today we know that through Jesus, lives are transformed, lives are changed. Hallelujah. The question is this: is our faith stirred when we hear the name of Jesus? Do we get an excitement in our spirit when we hear the name of Jesus? Or have we got so accustomed to his name that, you know, people use the name of Jesus, they swear, they just use it very casually, not knowing the power in the name of Jesus, not recognizing what authority they carry when they declare the name of Jesus. And sometimes we can get caught up in that, that when we even come to church, sometimes we may come just because we are used to coming. But my encouragement to you is, when you come to church on a Sunday morning, come with an expectation. Come knowing that Jesus is here in the house, and where Jesus is, something good's gonna happen. Because wherever Jesus went, people got delivered, people got set free, people got healed of all manner of sickness and disease. And we can experience the power of Jesus when we come into an atmosphere that is stirred by the Spirit of God, that is put together by God's people, coming together and exalting the name of Jesus. And we know in that atmosphere of praise and of worship, the presence of God dwells in all power and authority, that we haven't even called upon the name of Jesus, but his presence will set us free, because that's what he does. His presence sets us free. Praise the name of Jesus. Is there an earnest expectation? Is there a deep desire for the miraculous when we come together? Every time we meet together, when I come on a Wednesday, I'm expectant. I know, God, speak to me. God, do something in this place, because we are gathering together unto Jesus. The second thing that he did was he believed that Jesus had the words of eternal life. The centurion believed that. He said in verse 8, just say the word, my servant will be healed. Just say the word, my servant will be healed. And you know, Jesus commends this man, and he tells the people following him, I have not seen so much faith in Israel. I haven't seen it among the Jews. He is a Gentile. He is a non-Jew, a heathen, we would call them that. coming to me with such faith. He doesn't want me even to come to his house. He says he's not worthy of me. But he's able to, but he tells me, just say the word and my servant will be healed. John 15 verse 7 tells us this, that if we abide in Jesus and his word abides in us, we can ask what we desire and it will be done for us. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah to that. You're very quiet this morning. Give me a shout, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the name of Dinner. This is the gospel of Jesus. We are talking about Jesus. Let's get excited about Jesus. This is the season to get excited about Jesus. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about these lights or the decor. It's about Jesus. And let's not forget to tell people when they're focused on Santa Claus, say, you know, the reason for the season is Jesus. The reason you're celebrating is not because a Christmas tree landed on earth. It's because Jesus landed on earth. That's why we are celebrating. Let's bring them back to the reason, who is Jesus. And when you say it, get excited. Get excited because Jesus is exciting. Do we believe? Do we really believe God's word? Do we really believe the word of God to be true? Let's look at Hebrews 4 and verses 12 to 13. I'm going to read it in the message. Do we believe according to this scripture? And this is what it says. God means what he says. God means what he says. And what he says goes. You can't change the word of God. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. In some translations, sharper than a two-edged sword. Cutting through everything. A surgeon's scalpel is so sharp. It just is a neat cut when they make an incision. Cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense or through bone and marrow. It's so difficult to divide the two. It's because the marrow is in the bone. Am I right? But the word of God is able to discern and divide even such a combination, a unity, a oneness. God's word is able to discern it. God's word is able to shed its light on that situation. However deep it might be in the marrow of your bone where you don't see it. But God's word is able to find it. God's word is able to find you where you are at. God's word is able to find your situation and speak into your situation. There is no situation that is outside of the word of God that God's word cannot shed some light on. There's no situation where you, in the application of the word of God, can change and transform your life forever. Talk to somebody who has been touched by the Spirit of God. Their lives don't remain the same. Why? Because the Word of God has enlightened them. There is power in God's Word. It's not just a storybook with some words printed on sheets of paper. It contains power. It contains life. And that comes through applying God's Word into our hearts and into our lives. So His Word is powerful, sharper than a scalpel surgeon, cutting through everything. Whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. We can't get away from it. Do we believe this? Do we believe God's word? No one said amen. Oh, come on, church. Do we believe God's word? Do we believe God's word is true? So here's my question. Are we reading God's word diligently? Praise God. That's good. Are we reading God's word diligently? Because when we read God's word diligently, God's word will change us. The way you know a Christian's life is growing is when you see change happen in that person's life. And the change can come when you read the word of God. Coming to church on a Sunday alone won't do it. It's the time you spend reading the Word of God and saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. It's the time when you take a scripture and you say, God, I'm going to believe on your word this day. You have said this in your word. I'm going to take it from me. And I'm going to believe it. I'm going to see it come to pass. Does his word change us from the inside out? Does his word heal us? Is God's word to us a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? Are we obeying the word of God? Is the word of God our guide? Is this our guidebook, or do we have something else? Is this the book that gives us direction, or are we looking to something else? Is this the book, the word of God, that keeps us from sin? What is sin? It's to miss the mark of God's standard. That's what it means. It's to miss God's standard. To miss God's best in our lives. What are we believing today? What are we believing? So many people are believing all sorts of things today. It's so sad. But they would resort to believing themselves. Just to believe in themselves. They would believe in humanistic stuff, ideas. People would believe in some philosophical argument and keep arguing over and over again. People believe what's in the newspapers. People believe what's on the news, on television, magazines, some other form of literature. Some people go beyond that and believe in cults, where some person puts himself as the supreme leader and tells people what to do. God's word doesn't do that. God's word invites you. Invites you. You come with a sense of the freedom to choose. You're not forced. The gospel is not forced. Jesus is not forced. He is preached. You respond out of a free will. Nobody forces you to respond to the gospel. Yes, we encourage you because we know the power of the gospel of Jesus. But nobody forces you. What are we believing today? Some believe in religious activity. They do all the religious stuff, religious societies. What are we believing today? Do we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came down to this earth, taking the form of man, where he lived on this earth like you and me, man but yet God, God but yet man. Doing good amongst the people. And then he dies on the cross. A very cruel death. A painful death. A torturous death. He dies on the cross. But praise God, the grave could not hold him. He rose again. Hallelujah. He sits at the right hand of the Father. You know what he's doing? He's interceding for you. Tell your neighbor, he's interceding for you. Get excited about Jesus. He's doing that every moment of every day. You know, he's interceding for you. He's telling the Father how good you are. That's what he's doing. He's saying, Father, I gave my blood for that man, for that woman. You know, he's good. He's in my righteousness. He's my child. He's great. That's what he does. He intercedes for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 to 6 says this: there is only one God. Say one God. And there is only one go-between for God and human beings. That's one intercessor. He is the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, he gave himself to pay for the sins of all people. Who else gave up their lives as a ransom for the sin of the people? Who else? It's no one else. Only Jesus. That's why it says, he is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the only one who is a mediator between God and us. Because he is the only one who gave his life as a ransom. Do we believe that? Do we believe God's word has the power to change whatever situation we are in? Do we believe that? Yes. Come on. Do we believe that? Yes. That God's word has the power to change our situation. You know, I want us to catch something this morning. This centurion, he believed in Jesus. He heard, he believed. And the next thing he did was he saw. That's the third point. He saw the miraculous power of Jesus at work. He believed the word of Jesus and he saw his servant healed that very moment. Jesus said this, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed. What are we believing Jesus for right now? Are we believing him for our health? Are we believing him for our salvation? Are we believing him for our finances? Are we believing him whilst we are facing a difficult time in our lives that God is able to bring us through that situation? Are we believing that he is able? Are we believing for your spouse's salvation? Maybe your spouse doesn't know Jesus. Are you believing that Jesus can touch your spouse today? Are you believing for your children, for their salvation? Some of us may have children who do not know Jesus, but we can believe Jesus to touch their lives. Are there family members who need to know Jesus? We can believe Jesus today and we can pray for them and say, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that their eyes will be open, that you will meet with them, Jesus, that they will hear the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus. It takes faith, believing that with God, all things are possible. And that's hard to believe when you are going through a really bad time. It's easy to believe when you're going through a good time, all things are possible with God. But when you're going through a bad time, that's not easy, is it? It's not easy, let's face it. It's tough to believe that with God, all things are possible. And with God, all things work together for the good. Amen? Because we love him. Now that's not easy. But that's the word of God. That's what he said in his word. So our response, no matter how we feel, no matter what situation we are going through, and we all face different challenges and situations in our lives, I don't think there's one person who just sails this life without any worry or anything going on in their lives. If they said so, they're liars. But when we face these situations, immediately what should come to our mind is, I am standing on the word of God. I'm going to declare that the situation I'm going through is for good. Because I know God has a good plan for me. It is not for evil. It has a future. It has a hope. That is faith. It has a hope. Being assured of things that are to come. Declaring it now and being assured of things to come. That's when we stand our ground. It takes faith. Today, you can experience God's amazing power in your life to set you free from whatever is holding you back. This is a liberating message. Today, you can trust God to take you out of your situation. And say, God, I'm trusting you. Man cannot help me. Man can't help you in your desperation. But God can help you in your deepest need. You heard the word today. You're hearing it right now. Now believe that Jesus is able to change your situation. And expect to see that being fulfilled in your own life. You hear the word of faith. You believe it in your heart. And then you see the miracle. Hallelujah. You hear the word of God. You believe God's word to be true. You declare it by faith. And then you see the miracle unfolding before your very eyes. Amen? Amen. Jesus loves you. He loves you today. You know what? And he wants and he desires to have a relationship with you. You know, he desires to give you life to the full. That's what his desires. That's what his God's heart is. He wants to give us life to the full. He wants to fill our lives with joy. He wants to give us purpose in our lives. See, people today are living without any purpose. They're going from day to day to day to day. The same thing happens every day. There's no joy in their lives. Talk to some people. They are miserable. They go to work, they are miserable. They're doing something else, they're miserable. There's no joy. Because work alone, earning a salary at the end of the month, does not bring joy. If it did, everybody will be joyful, won't they? Everybody who works will be joyful. So what brings joy? Who can bring that joy? Jesus, in the midst of your situation. Jesus, in your life, can bring that joy. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about real joy. That even when you go through the difficult times, there is a sense of joy. You know who your God is. And your God, you know your God will never fail you. Jesus can change the past. You cannot change by walking into those places of sin, of failure, of disappointment, those places where you felt ashamed. Jesus can go to those areas. Why? Because he died on the cross for you. When he died on the cross, he already paid the price. He did it. He's been there. He's taken you out of that situation and brought you to where you are now. You don't have to live in the shame. You don't have to live in the disappointment. Today, Jesus can set you free. Today, Jesus wants you to live in the joy. Wants you to live with purpose, with meaning in your life. Jesus knows the worst about you, and yet he believes the best. Why? Because he knows that when he's got through with you, you will shine. All that shame and all that stuff is got rid of. You will start to blossom. He has an amazing future. Jesus is an amazing friend. In John's gospel, read that he says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. He's an amazing friend. He has a great future. Tell your neighbor, you want a great future? I can tell you now, Jesus has a great future for you. Start believing that. Start believing that. Start believing. I'll come back to you. Start believing that. Start believing that. Jesus has a great future for me. Jesus has a great future for me. You won't lose anything by saying it. You don't lose anything by saying it. But you know what it does? It changes your perspective on life. And even when you're going through the most horrible time, you can still say, Jesus has a great future for me. Jesus has a great future for me. Don't let the enemy rob you of God's future for you, of God's plan for you. How does he rob you? He puts a seed of doubt in your mind. And he says, look at the way you are. Look at what you're going through. Your future is going to be bleak, rubbish. If you keep going to church like this, you'll end up, nowhere. if you start serving God like this, what's the point? The pastor never says hello to you. He never appreciates you. What's the point? You might as well stay at home. That's the enemy sowing seeds of doubt in our minds. Why? Because he wants to rob us of God's best for our lives. But are we going to let him do that? No! Hallelujah. You can trust Jesus. His plans are good. They're not for evil. They're for a future, for a hope, a joyful expectation. There's an anticipation about the future. Jesus listens to every prayer that you pray. The question is, do we want to know this Jesus? Do we want to know him? See, he doesn't force himself on us. He's there. His arms are open. And all he wants us to do is say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you gave your life for me, Jesus. Do you want to know Jesus today? Are you willing to do what Jesus says just because he said it? Are you willing to do that? Let's all stand this morning. I'm going to ask Audrey to come up quickly and share what's on your heart. But just before Audrey does that, are you willing to do what Jesus says just because he's said it? Just because he's said it. We can pray this prayer. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can pray this prayer wherever you are. And today you can know this Jesus. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done. Those things that have been wrong, I missed the mark. God, I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for taking away my sin. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come and be my Lord and be my Savior. I receive you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray, O God, that if someone has prayed that prayer, Lord, from their heart to you today, I thank you, Jesus, according to your word, that they've come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Pray, oh God, that you'll encourage them. God, that your life will shine through their lives. Thank you, oh God, they'll experience more and more of your love, of your joy, of your presence in their lives, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer, you want to come and talk to me, please feel free to do that. I'll be very happy to talk with you and get to know you.